There's a screaming teenager behind me having a fight with her parents, by the way, Mike. Yeah.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's the vibe.
Could be a Celtics, could be a Nets fan, you know, could be watching the series. Who knows? Anyways, sorry. Go ahead.
That's hey.
Okay. Yeah. Nah, hey, fire Glue it up. Nation. Fire it up. Who cares? Nah,
hey, no. Glue Nation.
I don't, you know, we're not going to do the whole fire it up. Let's just get in the show. We already know what happens. The Nets lost game two. Who cares? Move it on.
Welcome back to the Glue Guys. This is Mike here. Say hello, Brian.
Hello.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm fired up now.
Yeah, come on.
Check us out.
I'm not doing the minor key podcast. It sucks. This sucked, and it was shit. But I'm not gonna do the whole thing of like.
Hey,
blah,
blah, blah, blah. Hey, Brian shows up. Unlike Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving.
That's right.
Hi-yo! Burn. There you got burns.
Yeah, I don't want
Welcome
you
back to
suck.
Glue guys at being glue guys on Twitter, netsilly.com, The Athletic. Get yourself behind the paywall at theathletic.com/glueguys. Des Lombardo wants to get on the pod so he can dry heave.
Yeah. So it is the night of. We were fresh, maybe 30 seconds after the closing bell on game two here. I bet this podcast gets 5 listens, to be honest with you. So we could probably just go completely off. Nobody wants to listen to this right now. So I'm just ready to tee off. This is we started at the beginning of the season, Mike, talking about how if we didn't win a championship this year, not only didn't make it out of the first effing round of the playoffs, but if we didn't get to a championship season, this was a bad look for us. And you know, I just want to make sure that we have the entire scope of what's happened here under. Not to say that we're not going to come out and maybe win 2 games in Barclays and make a series out of this, but based on what we've seen here, it is really hard to have faith in this team right now. It is really hard. I mean, they have an actual plan. We got to give them credit. Honestly, the plan was drag this game into the gutter with just being incredibly physical with Kevin Durant. They correctly analyzed our only strength we have on this team, which is Kevin Durant, and they nullified it by just bringing him down to their level. And it's a good idea. It's what you should do. It's what most people should do. And I can't blame them for that. I blame this team. I blame Kyrie Irving for giving us no other options. I blame Steve Nash for creating zero offensive schemes outside of, you know, give Kevin Durant the ball and hopefully good things will happen. You know, I blame Andre Drummond for suddenly forgetting how to catch the goddamn ball. I have a lot of blames to go around right now. You know, failure is it's an orphan here. And you know,
we're an orphanage.
We're an orphanage. I just feel like I want to go back to what I was previously saying. We started out this season being like, hey Kyrie, if you F this, do whatever you got to do, vaccines. If you F the season up, how can we ever forgive you? And I feel, you know, Harden's gone off to play very poorly, and we, you know, we maybe saved ourselves from that. But like, we are not a coherent team right now. We don't make sense. Nothing is working outside of Kevin Durant up until the very end of the season. And now he's not working because we're up against a team who actually knows how to plan to play another freaking team, you know, who actually adopts their strategy based on the personnel they're playing, Michael. So it's a problem for us. It's a big problem. and I want to be done. I want to be done with these people. Sorry, this is an emotion. This is a feels-based rant. But
in the 9 years we've been doing this, I've never seen you like this, and it's so exciting for
me. It's frustrating. It's frustrating to have gone the distance with this team in particular and done the whole, like, well, we're going to, you know, no worries. Like, the regular season's all BS. We can just slap it together by playoff time. Guess what, guys? You can't. You cannot do that. That's not how things in life ever work. You can't just be like, yeah, everything else for 95% of this, just we don't have to pay any attention to a detail of any kind.
Tip it up. Yeah. Tip it up. We're going to ball out, right? Yeah. That's tip it up is what Kevin Durant said.
Yeah.
Let's just tip it up.
And it's dumb. Sorry, go ahead.
And it's dumb. I mean, I don't want to get too long term here. but I said this before, June 30th, 2019, Woj tweets out, Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, DeAndre Jordan are going to come to Brooklyn, clean sweep. And we knew that we wouldn't have Kevin Durant that first year. And of course, that was the COVID year and all that stuff. This is the dynasty that was promised. I mean, this is a huge deal that they blew this game. Game one was a game where they didn't really play all that well, and yet they should have won the game, but they didn't, right? So like karma would say, or sort of the momentum of the game, the team that was making the better plays in that game were the Boston Celtics, and they won game one. Game two, I have a hilarious string of notes. I actually sat down on my couch, busted out the Google Docs app, and I was taking notes, and they were segmented quarter one, quarter two, quarter three, quarter four. And I was like, oh my God, they're doing the right things. They're going in and trying to get every rebound. There's three guys for the Nets in the paint where there's one for the Celtics. They're doing everything correct. Bruce Brown is a monster. Bruce Brown seems to be the only guy on this team right now with cojones, Brian. It is so exciting to begin. And then it's just a horror show. These notes, the string of notes going in third quarter and then fourth quarter is just one of the most depressing, disgusting quarters of basketball in Nets history because this team should be better. And there's so many reasons why it's not better. Steve Nash is a bad coach. Bad coach. There's no continuity because of Kevin Durant's knee, Kyrie Irving's anti-vax stance, James Harden's his waffling that led to Ben Simmons's back, Joe Harris's ankle. There are excuses, but in the end, this is the team that we are witnessing in the playoffs. The Nets-Celtics series was by Vegas's standards supposed to be the closest of the first round, and game one, the Nets should have won. They didn't. They should have won game two. Even more so, even though the end result is further away from game one. Game two, they had full control. Stan Van Gundy was saying on the broadcast that, the Nets, even though they're only up by 12, it feels like they should be up by 20 because of how dominant they are. And it felt that way in the first half. It felt really good. Even though that Kevin Durant and Kyrie weren't really doing much, the team overall, you got 16 points from Seth Curry. You got 23 from Bruce Brown. You got 18 from Goron. But yet, Kevin Durant, if you take away his free throws, and a lot of those free throws happened when he wasn't even attacking the basket. Like, he got a lot of free ticky-tack fouls. He was 18 for 20 from the free throw line, even though he missed two in a row at one point. So we got 27-5-4. But it was the weakest 27-5-4 in NBA playoff history. And rarely, Brian, how many times on this show have we ever like truly criticized Kevin Durant?
Never. I mean, honestly, truly never. We're just like thankful. And like, I'm torn between giving the Celtics too much credit on this and like, and just saying like Kevin Durant has just pieced together two of the worst games I've ever seen him play. Like it's not just that he's getting physically manhandled, and that's like part of their plan, and that's somewhat working to a lesser effect this game, I would say, than the first game, just because the refs did call some of those ticky-tacky fouls, as you mentioned. But like, he continues to just fart the ball out of bounds, like almost half of the time. Like, what has happened here? Is I've never seen anything like this, where just like the best player starts to it's so Netsian. This only ever happens to the Nets, Mike. I swear to God, how does this only ever happen? Where like when it matters, our best player just like starts to dribble off his foot all the time. What is happening?
And he gets a mid-range jumper blocked, which has never happened in Kevin Durant's career. And even at times when he got open looks, so you talk about like, who do you give credit to, the Celtics or is it the Nets just fucking up, right? It's obviously a lot of both. I mean, but at times, Kevin Durant was guarded by Al Horford and Grant Williams. And Kevin Durant, who is a top 12 player in NBA history, if he's healthy, and I don't know if he is, because that's almost the only explanation that he's not fully healthy, that there's some sort of nagging knee injury or leg injury that is diminishing his burst, diminishing his lift, and messing with his mind in some way. He could not blow by Grant Williams and Al Horford. Two guys that, like, when Durant gets switched onto them, when Durant is the ball handler, he should dominate. Like, that's a win for the Nets. And he was 4 for 17 from the field, and he couldn't handle the basketball.
And I don't want to get into, like, is it, you know, as to your point, this is speculation, whatever, is it injury? Another version of that speculation, which everyone hates, and I don't want to get into, it's like load management. He's 33 years old now, and he's played like 45 minutes a game for the last 2 months to get into the playoffs. Like,
that's 100% true.
Like, yeah. And meanwhile, you know, and I don't want to, like, I really don't want to lose sight of the fact that Kyrie, had he played more, this would not have been such a race to finish this season. We wouldn't have had to be in this position. We would have won more regular season games and not have to blow our tires off trying to get into the play-in game, for God's sakes. Like, please, let's just not lose sight of the fact that we are in this position because of this dude. All the hemming and hawing about this, I don't understand. It's fine. I'm not like, you know, vax, whatever. I don't care. He should have been playing basketball. I just don't care anymore about any of the other things. We shouldn't be in this position.
And so we sit here, you and I are very, we try to be very rational in this. Like, very rarely do we, when we do a post-game show, are we like, capture the moment, capture the emotion of the moment. So if we want to take a step back, it's 2-0, the Celtics have won both games at home. It's gone according to plan in terms of what the series is probably going to turn out to be anyways. But that doesn't speak to what we just witnessed.
Yes.
Game one, the Nets should have won, and they blew it at the end because of lack of execution. And Udoka completely put Steve Nash in a blender, in a coaching Vitamix. And in game two, the Nets had a sizable lead. They were playing better basketball. And when things got tight, they regressed. They regressed to the, hey, let's give Kevin Durant the ball 28 feet from the basket, where a guy's completely draped on his back and the entire defense knows what he's going to do next.
Yeah.
Let's not do anything that we did at the beginning of the game, which was, let's kind of feature our role players a little bit more, create a little bit movement off the ball. Durant at the beginning of the game, though not that he was successful, was getting the ball closer to the bucket. And I thought that was a key. I wrote that down. Such an exciting note. In a game I was... We were going to
put a heart next to it and a star.
It was going to be, it was so excited. I was going to print it out and show my wife when she woke up in the morning and said, look at all the work I did for this show. And yet, so how great, wow. And Steve Nash, what a genius. And then it regresses and regresses. And that's a symptom of what you go back to. This team has been a complete shit show all year, from injuries, unvaccinated stance, trades. You know, we got a piece of news before the game, and we'll talk about it, I guess, at some point, but, like, Ben Simmons may return in game four. I think Woj reported that, and it's been reported
my eyes are rolling into the back of my head listening to that. I just don't,
And it's like...
I don't know what to do with it, and I don't want to even care. Like, I just...
And it
doesn't solve the problem. The optics are what the optics are.
It does a disservice to analysis if we try to map this, 3D chess this shit. Right? No, we're in it right now. This team should have won this game. They should have won game one, even though they weren't playing that well, but they had the lead at a certain point. They should have won that game. They should have won this game, like, kind of comfortably if they had had competency from a ball handling perspective, if they knew what they wanted to do on offense. But in that second half, there was zero plan. Kevin Durant was 4 for 17 from the field. Yes, he was 18 for 20 from free throw line. That's obviously the greatest free throw performance for him. I don't think he's made as many free throws as that. Kyrie Irving was 4 for 13, one assist. And so there's something that, you know, I don't know how you feel. Like, I was going to play a game like who to blame, right?
And it's a classic Smeltz family holiday special.
Goes way back to the Egyptians. It's Passover time, and the Smeltzes were, you know, we were constantly, why are we in the desert? Yeah, you know, 40 years. Who's to blame for that? But it for some reason, like, the glaring spot, like, of Kevin Durant fumbling the ball off of his foot, getting a shot blocked from mid-range, all of that is so glaring, but yet Kyrie also was bad. He scored 10 points, of all the starters, only Andre Drummond scored fewer points than him.
Bad.
And Goron was a much more effective player.
He was bad in a more conspicuous way. Bad in a, like, I don't want, I like, and I hate to do this because, like, the cut over to him eating a banana on the sidelines, I'm just like, I get it. The guy's got to do whatever he's got to do, but, like, it's just one thing after another. Like, he's now, he's got potassium surging through his veins. He's going to cramp up, and it's, he didn't, like, he was not there for the second half of this game. Here's what we usually don't do on this, but we're going to go behind the break the fourth wall. I sent you a text being like, I don't want a podcast right now. and I do that because we never really pod after the show because it usually takes
after the game. Yeah.
After the game. Sorry. To like a moment to digest your feelings, to not come shot out of a cannon in the way that we are now. And now that I'm here and I'm going off, like it feels cathartic. And I wonder if I'll agree with a lot of what I've said here tomorrow. And like, it's very possible that we, you know, win game of 3 and 4 and this is all fine because like ultimately what we've seen here is like things that are obviously working. And then we stop going to them and we allow like our these goblins in our mind to just take over. And we start doing all of the most stupid, like straightforward myopic things you can do on a basketball court. We just go to, like, really obvious offensive. It's basically, I said this on this Elden Ring analogy. It's coming true. So the analogy that I had for the Athletic show is that we're like an Elden Ring boss where it can either one shot kill you with a Kevin Durant club, or you can like dodge roll behind its butt and then just like stab it in the ankle till it dies while it's like glitching into a wall or something. We are glitching into a wall in the second half of these games right now. We're just stuck on this spamming this really bad offense, especially when Kevin Durant is like specifically not playing well. We're just like, just go to him. We'll just go to him. That'll be fine. And it'll work. It's like, that's truly the only thought in our brain right now. And everybody in the entire arena, everyone watching on TV is seeing like, it's like, okay, that's what they're going to. So we'll just get more handsy with Kevin Durant, make it more difficult. And it's just, you're fighting a really dumb boss right now. And that's what we are. We just look dumb and it's annoying. It's frustrating.
It is 100%. I mean, as great as Kevin Durant is, ultimately in the playoffs, if the only option is like as a defense, here's what then you have to protect against. Kevin Durant taking the ball and we're going to put 18 guys on him. Kyrie Irving, who, yeah, he was doubled at times in this game, but like there was room for Kyrie to operate it some of the time. And then it's like Bruce Brown, you know, hitting a floater, I guess. Besides that, Drummond has zero role in the offense. You know, I'm trying to even look like who like Seth Curry. He actually had a good night, but he's diminished because of his ankle. What's so weird about this game is that, I mean, if you look at what the Celtics did tonight, Grant Williams was a monster.
Yeah.
17 points, did not miss a shot, did not miss a free throw. He continually pushed Nick Claxton around, which is embarrassing for Nick Claxton. Peyton Pritchard, a guy who, yes, he can be good, and I'm not just discounting him because, you know, he looks like a guy who's more likely to show up in a Boston Dunkin' Donuts than in the TD Bank Garden or whatever it's called at this point. But he was 5 for 7 from the field and was electric and kind of ignited the crowd in the way that he did. Daniel Tice was great. Al Horford was left completely wide open from three and hit half of his threes tonight. But it was a game that Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown, I don't think either of them were all that impressive. Tatum had the 10 assists.
I mean, Jaylen Brown, like, I don't know
Jaylen
what
Jaylen Brown, I am not terrified at all.
No, Jaylen Brown, like, tonight especially, I was like, I am so, this is the same take from last episode. It's like, thank God that the ball is in your hands right now, because that's like, I have no faith that he's going to do anything scary or good with it. Like, it's a good thing for us.
It's just,
anyways. What else is
this goddamn game,
man?
Unacceptable, man. It's goddamn unacceptable. And it's embarrassing it's got to be embarrassing for Kevin Durant. It has to be embarrassing for Kyrie Irving. It has to be embarrassing for everyone on this team. Seth Curry has had some amount of success in the NBA. Drummond, while maybe not highly thought of within league circles, has been a big money guy and, you know, has played on some playoff teams, I think. But, and Goron, Did he, has he won a championship? It doesn't matter. He's been, him and Patty have both been like veteran playoff dudes who've done really well. And Gouron's been pretty vocal about, he was vocal after game one about how, you know, like Kevin and Kyrie played well, but like we have to, like we, the rest of the team has to really step up. He stepped up. Bruce Brown, I'm falling madly in love with because he seems to be the, him and Gouron are the only guys on this team who like seem to enjoy playing right now. Kevin Durant was such...
They're the only guys that can actually make a play. Like, can you remember one single time where, I don't know what... Was it one assist that Kyrie had, and how many assists did Kevin Durant have? Like, I don't know what's going
Kevin
on with
Kevin had
them.
Five. He had five. It didn't feel like an impactful five.
Right. And meanwhile, I can think of, like, at least... you know, a handful of plays that, you know, that either of Dragic or Bruce Brown just initiated a drive and it resulted in a very simple either dump down pass or kick out. Like I have them in my brain. I just remember them. And I'm like, well, I don't have any memory of anything like that from Kyrie Irving. And it just, we are stuck in tunnel vision. So concerned with getting either of those two guys going. That's like our big, that's, we need just, if the engine of our offense is going to like ever turn on, it's ever going to kick on, it's going to get one of those two guys started. And it's like, if it doesn't happen, we just like peter out and our jalopy just, it's just on the side of the highway and and there's nothing to be done. And that cannot be the case. You literally cannot have there be like two versions of the same solution to your problem, which is just have one of those two guys go off. It's just so lazy. It's offensive because it's intellectually lazy, Mike. That's the ultimate problem. We just have there's not a whole lot of interesting things happening on the court, and that's the biggest crime here, Mike.
It all links back to what we talked about before, the tip it up mentality. Just tip it up. Kyrie Irving said it before they hired Steve Nash. We don't really need a coach. We don't really need a coach. And by the way, I'm going to get to Steve Nash after the break because we got to break in a little bit. But I'm not sure what Steve Nash does that impacts. I know he doesn't do anything that impacts the actual game positively. There's not a single thing that like, that was a Steve Nash moment right there. Like he may be a super nice guy, and I do believe he's probably about the only coach who could have deftly handled the Kyrie unvaccinated, the anti-vax stance, while handling James Harden, and then being like, okay, James Harden has to go. Now we have this weird Ben Simmons back issue, and we're integrating Seth Curry and Drummond, like personalities-wise. He is a great substitute teacher. Just, oh, he'll roll out that TV and put it on Finding Nemo, and all the kids are happy, right? But he is not
good.
He is not a guy, he's not an AP professor who is going to really elevate the students and take them out and say, I don't know, what's a movie where like there's a teacher that changes people's lives? What's the one with Ethan Hawke and Josh Charles when they're young?
The Dead Poets Society.
Yeah.
There's also Stand and Deliver. Lean on Me.
So many classics.
Yeah.
So many classics. There's the one with Michelle Pfeiffer, right? Where she's
Dangerous Minds. Like, Dangerous Minds. Yeah. Which how do I have all these? You know, these.
Yeah,
are just,
you've got this at the tip of your tongue.
I'm big on that archetype. It's big for me. The teacher who, overcomes.
And then what would be a teacher who just didn't really rise to the challenge in a movie? There's probably many of them.
What's the one with Rodney Dangerfield about diving or something? Yeah.
Yeah, where he's on the diving team. Yeah. That was on Comedy Central a ton. Yeah.
So much growing up.
It was like Class Act or something.
Something like that.
Movies back then were real movies. Yeah, was take a disgusting old man and make him go to college. That was like 12 movies back then. Let's quick break.
Yeah.
Coming back, we actually have some email, so we should hit those emails. Someone sent in a voice email, and I will try to listen before it gets on the air. And then coming back, there's just a lot to talk about.
Just throw it on there. Let's see if we have to edit it out, we'll edit it out.
Okay. And we're back, Brian. Wow. One thing before we get to email. Before the game started, our Twitter was getting a lot of activity. And I like that. It gets me excited when I see our Twitter notifications.
Because you love clout.
I love clout. Yeah. And there was something that happened in the arena that seemed to ignite our fan base and really kind of connected from something that we've talked about on the show before. There was a person in the building, okay, that... the Nets savior, The guy who is going to save the Nets was inside the building tonight. It wasn't Kevin Durant. It wasn't Kyrie Irving. And it wasn't Ben Simmons. It was Coach Mike Krzyzewski.
Right.
Coach Mike Krzyzewski.
Yeah.
Who I said on this very show, if I'm going to do dark horse candidate for who's going to be the Nets' next head coach.
Oh, you're double downing? You want to double down on this right now? You're feeling pretty good about it. Yeah.
He was there courtside.
You want to make sure.
Obviously, there's a lot of Dookies.
You want to make sure if this happens, the take is yours. That's what you want to. Yeah.
People have spoken loudly. Alex Sturm, the preeminent reporting voice in Nets Twitter culture, has given me the copyright to the Coach K to the Nets thing. He was there sitting courtside with John Shire and Emile Jefferson, I think, a bunch of the other Duke coaches. He was there analyzing the game.
You're elbowing people out of this take like Grant Williams right now.
With his vulture-like eyes. Yeah. Doesn't he look like a vulture, like the vulture from Sesame Street or Muppets? There's like a Muppets character.
I don't know that, but sure, I'd go.
Yeah, go with it.
Yeah.
The savior for the Nets is in the building, because here's why. Kevin Durant, of course. Kyrie Irving played for him at Duke. Kevin Durant and Kyrie played for him on Team USA. And Steve Nash, if the Nets lose this series, okay, let's play this out. Let's say they split at home and then they lose in Boston in game five. So it's a 3-1 or 4-1 waxing. Mm-hmm. Steve Nash has to go. Because ultimately, he's been given, you know, 2 years, right? Is this year two? I can't even fathom that it's only been 2 years.
2 years.
And while he may be a sweet man, just a gentleman, a guy who's on his daughter's TikToks, and God bless him for it, I support dads who are willing to demean themselves for their children. I do it every day. He has yet to prove that he can do anything strategically that enhances the roster. You know, he does deserve credit for Bruce Brown, the Brownosaurus, even though he didn't want to play him earlier this year. I think we need to remember that. But he deserves credit for taking a guy like Bruce Brown and saying, this is the role that you can thrive in, mm-hmm. right? So he gets that. But everything else on this team has been muted and been neutered mm-hmm. and has not been enhanced by Stephen James Nash. And I don't even know if this is his middle name, but I don't have to worry about it, because if he loses in five games to the Celtics, he's gone. And our boy, Coach K.
You're double, triple downing. Here comes.
I've talked about this before. There's only a select group of guys who could coach this, or women too, who could coach this team. It has to be someone with like real clout and expertise. Pop is still in San Antonio. Pat Riley's in Miami. It's like Coach K and Phil Jackson. It ain't for Frank Vogel. Sure, like, I guess he's sure a championship
ain't.
Coach.
Sure enough, ain't.
They should have hired Ty Lue when they had the chance, though Ty Lue is obviously not even in the playoffs. So I'm just like, the Nets could turn it around and we could talk about it. Like, what's the chances? This is the vibes episode. We're 10:20 on 4:20 right now. Mm.
Shout out to the 420. Hey, 420 guys. Is there a drop going? Oh, I thought you were about to hit a drop.
Oh, I don't have. Do you think I have a 420 drop?
I don't know. I thought maybe you had like
it's a golf swing.
Perfect. That was
my friend Steve's at Fish. They're playing at MSG. So I'm sure he is.
What's his name?
Steve.
Shout out to Steve. Wow.
Steve Perel. Steve. Big fan.
Hang in there, buddy. Don't go crazy.
Okay. Should we get to some email?
Sure.
Or do you have something else to say before we?
No, I feel bad like throwing Steve Nash under the bus, but he does. Why? He you know, he should be.
He's a bad coach.
I wish, you know, it's bad funny because in the NBA, typically like the assistant coach actually does a whole lot, and there should be like a vice president role. You know how in like leadership, there's this sort of like figurehead, the guy who's got to make the hard decisions, and then there's the vice president who just kind of represents. It's like the chief and the holy man. You know, he just represents the spirit, the vibe of the team. He just give him like a vice president, holy man role on the team. Have him just be like the vibes guy, because we do, this team needs a vibes guy. But we Theo also Pinson, we they, also need a coach a lot. So that's in conflict right now. His role is a vibes. He could just get a demotion. They should I don't know what to call this position. Just call it holy man. I mean, Kyrie would dig that.
Kyrie would absolutely be thrilled by holy man on the roster. And Kyrie, again, he stated previously, the team doesn't really need a coach. Coaching's important. And there's a lack of coaching. Of course, this team's hard to coach. We all understand that. Like, you know, we're saying all this stuff about Steve Nash. Yes, he's had a very hard coaching job. He also has Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. So it's kind of, you know, I guess it's like a double-edged sword. I don't really know the correct reference, but
let's throw that voicemail. I'm dying to hear this crazy voicemail.
Okay, I'll read the email before we get to the voicemail. I'm very scared. This is what he says. Hi, guys. This is Jose. Sorry if the audio quality is bad. Quick emotional take.
Loved it already.
My worst nightmare.
Checking a lot of boxes for me.
Let me, I'm going to jack up the volume end. Because this is like, and I appreciate, like, by the way, if people want to get involved, like, we take voicemails. We don't really play them because not many come in. But that's really about Gmail. You could just send in quick little voicemail. Voice memos it up and send it in.
Hi, guys. Love the pod. So, yeah, I'll just get right to it. I could probably point, like, all the issues we're having, just trace it back to just Sean Marks hiring Steve Nash in the first place as head coach. The guy just simply can't coach. Like, his game plan just is basically just rely on KD or Kyrie to carry us to wins. You know, that will work sometimes in the regular season, but now when we're in the playoffs, you know, intensity's like intensity goes way up, and then we're facing better competition here, like we're facing with the Celtics. It just is not going to work. It's just not something you could consistently rely on. And we're not running a system. We're just running ISO ball, and the Celtics are playing really good defense on KD, and they're kind of like Ime Udoka, I probably butchered his name, but the former assistant coach we had last year, that's now the Celtics head coach. He's kind of coaching circles around Nash. And he had a first-round seat to how the Bucks attacked us last year, so I'm not surprised by this one bit, especially with like Nash's inability to coach and adapt and basically make any like adjustments. I have like no faith. I have no faith in Steve Nash, but the only hope I'm clinging to is that KD and Kyrie will really show up and kind of like carry us to some wins. That's the only hope we can have at the moment. But, you know, considering how they look tonight, you know, not sure how much faith we could put there. But yeah, that's all I have to say.
Can I say, I feel lied to, Mike, by the body of that email, because that was great audio quality and a very measured and dispassionate response. I wouldn't consider that bad quality or emotional. Thank you for that. Was it Jose?
Jose, and that was awesome. It was actually really well delivered. Better delivered.
Yeah, I'm like, I feel like I've been motor mugging this whole episode and just stammering on, and he's just... Jose, what are you doing? Do you want to come on? My seat.
I did. So I had tweeted out right after the game, you know, A, we're playing who's to blame, blah, blah, blah. It's usual suspects, but it is a lot of Steve Nash. 57 people have actually commented, and Nash is the prevalent voice so far. Mm. There's a lot to blame. There's plenty of blame to go around, Brian, but people are furious with Steve Nash. Should we get other emails real quick?
Sure. I have to load them up, so just give me 2 seconds, and I'm going to do a quick little thing here. Okay. My thing's not loading. Hi. Hello, email. You might need to...
First up.
Yeah. Oh, wait. Here we go. They've loaded up now. first up, cheer boy, Brandon San Giovanni. He says he signs off Brandon. Hey, Brandon. Hey there, glue guys. Your boy, Brandalorian here. Just wanted to chime in. My rankings. One. This is probably about blame.
This is the rankings. Blame rankings for game two.
So number one is Nash. I had... piling on the guy, but I hate I think he's what he's trying to say is I hate piling on the guy, but the issues in the third and fourth quarters getting stops aren't new. It speaks volumes that we ended the third quarter with the lead, however much it shrank, and I momentarily thought to myself, wow, improvement. We also didn't seem to have any plays designed to get Katie and Kyrie going in the fourth, so we had forced step backs from Kyrie and the occasional mid-range brick from over a defender from KD. On top of it all, I still don't think he has a good enough sense for when to use timeouts. True, so, on all accounts.
Yeah, so then he ranks 2 KD, 3 Kyrie, and then he has some smaller thoughts, which we all appreciate. And Brandon, absolute thank you for all your support.
Do you feel like we, in coming out so emotionally, like that we've a lot of people
we've
come
put
to us
in a quarter.
So a lot of people come to us for measure takes, but maybe it's time to not have a measure take on this. You know, there is a little bit of like, you know, to Jose's message, he's lacking faith, and I think that's what you're hearing from us now is a loss of faith, Mike. Maybe
I'm reminded of like the Joe Biden impersonations now. Like, come on, guys. Hey, yeah. Get it together. Yeah. We all know this. It's simple, right? And like. Yeah, so if we had potted tomorrow, you know, and we had perspective, we would say, man, that's playoffs. It's just playoffs, brah. That's what happens. You lose games on the road. You win games at home. The role players are going to be playing better for the Brooklyn Nets at home, and the Celtics role players are going to play a little bit worse. Actually, the thing is, though, the Celtics are a really good road team. They have a fantastic road record. Things are different in the playoffs, but they're a very good road team. I don't want to lose the energy of what we just saw, right? And, you know, we can get real analytical about it and be like, oh, if these few things happened differently, the Nets could have won the game, like just a few plays. But what we saw was a massive issue with this team. They get disorganized. They don't have a flow. If they are unable to sort of, I don't know, pop free for like a Kevin Durant, Kyrie shot, they're just lost. Their losses, like at the second half, just became, hey, as you've said many times, Kevin and Kyrie, just here's the ball with the defender draped all over you. Can you do anything with it? Mm-hmm. Right? As opposed to what it was like earlier in the game, much more movement, much more action. And actually, Bruce Brown and like Drummond was making a few plays on his passing. It was just, if you're a Celtics fan, you're feeling pretty good because you're thinking the things that the Nets have to fix aren't fixable in a 7-game series where if, you know, some guy has a bad shooting night or something like the normal things that happen negatively to a team during a 7-game series, that's not the Nets' issue. The Nets' issue is systematic at this point. It's because of, you know, bad coaching and a lack of continuity and all the pieces that are being jammed in together in a really disgusting fashion. And so we're left here. Yeah, they're down 2 games. They're going to Brooklyn.
This isn't who's up next because, like, you know, it's amazing. So true boy Gregory Johnston has almost the exact same email as Brandon Sangiovanni. It's like two, it is eerily similar, but basically he has the exact same top 3, you know, blame concerns. It's interesting. I mean, this is true of Jose as well. Like, we're all just... The problem with doing an analysis of the Nets playoff run right now is that everyone's on the same page. All of the problems are so glaringly obvious. It's just not even like, it's not even that fun to dissect, them. Like, everyone can see what's happening here. It's plain as day.
Well, and the thing is, this is a new fresh pain for us.
Yeah.
Because of anything over these, you know, ever since June 30th, 2019, whenever Kevin Durant has been healthy, he is so reliable. He is electric. He has been the best player in the NBA when he's healthy. The most dynamic scorer. Again, I said top 12 player. I don't have my list in front of me. I'm just being safe by saying he's top 12. What we've seen over 2 games is that he isn't that guy. He's 100% ain't that bitch.
Whoa.
From Lizzo. That's a Lizzo. She hosted SNL. That's a Lizzo reference. I brought it up before.
No, I'm not saying the language in it is the problem. I'm just saying the conclusion was, it's, wow.
He's off. He's never. So there was a stat that was, I think it was true, that was tweeted out pregame. They asked Adoka about it. K, Kevin Durant, after losses in the playoffs, averages like 43 points per game. His next game after a loss in the playoffs. He did score 27, which is a fine number. But the way he got that 27 was not the way that Kevin Durant typically scores baskets. And it was a fumbling, bumbling mess.
I'd bring back
Andre Blatch.
I still think he's that bitch. It's just it's a bad two games.
I don't think he's 100% that bitch. I think he's 75 that bitch. Apologies.
Next up,
Cheer boy.
That's Luis Torres. Imagine if the Nets win four of the next five. First Ben Simmons games, I got high for this email, not for the holiday. Yeah, everyone's sort of in a, I'll go back to saying, like, I don't expect many people to listen to this podcast. It just feels like not a good time to be consuming Nets content and taking this team seriously. So I vibe with the ethos in this message. But hey, Mike, does that mean we want to talk at all? Is that a lead into talking about the one lone X factor that still remains, the
prince who was promised,
the North Star of Ben
backless
Simmons.
Horseman. Mm-hmm. So there was a moment in the game when Bruce Brown was sitting next to Ben Simmons, and Bruce Brown like patted Ben quite aggressively on the back, and everything looked okay, and I was like, there, he's healthy. He's ready.
Yeah, just the pat on the back. You're so keyed into it. It's really impressive.
Yeah, because that is a true indication of how people, because I feel like we're being lied to all the time about injuries and
but your sense
like
of
that.
Your hypervigilance to other people, like, you know, pictures of them, how they're sitting in chairs or walking in the snow and stuff, it's very impressive. I think I just want to give you a moment.
Yeah. Thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah. Here's what Steve Nash said. So Woj reported that Ben Simmons is targeting game four for a return. Here's what Steve Nash said pregame. That's news to me. I don't think we're targeting any game. We haven't penciled in anything or made any conclusions yet. I think he's got a long way to go. And like, I get it, man. I get it that you're playing like a Bill Belichick clone, that even though we know that Woj is talking to Sean Marks and that Shams is talking to Rich Paul, and they are both aligned in saying that game four is probably when Ben Simmons is going to return. And Steve Nash, you can't publicly say it is a competitive disadvantage to reveal the timeline. It's also ridiculous and silly. And just, I understand he's probably being coached that way by Nets PR, which, you know, I don't want to go to a Nets PR rant. I don't have to, you know, they've never done anything for this podcast, obviously. So, you know, no friends over there. But it's like, I don't know. Brian, let me ask you. Ben Simmons returns game four and the Nets are down 3-0. Are you getting excited? What meme are you sending out? Are you excited for that meme? Are you excited for that?
I mean, here's the meme. Like, the Wojak in behind me right now with like smiling face with crying, like smiling mask with crying face underneath. That's just my feeling in general right now. Too little too late is the meme with Ben Simmons returning for game four. Again, you know, I don't want to like bury us because like we could come out and wins game three and four, but like here's the real takeaway for me from this whole thing. It's that like we have a very, very small chance to get out of this Celtics series. I think like just based on, unless like the optics completely change in game three and like somehow everything that we're talking about gets rectified, which I think is very unlikely, but let's say it does. I still think we hit a buzzsaw in round two and still lose to the Bucks. So I'm like, I have less faith than ever in the like championship run ceiling of this team. And that's what I'm mourning right now more than anything. Just like, I was hoping that maybe there was something left in us to change the narrative going into the playoffs. And we are exactly the same team we were going into it. There's no And why? And why would we be? Why would we delude ourselves into thinking that we could just tip it up and be whoever we want to be, new school, new me, and then you're just
tip
like...
Tip it up, baby.
You're not... It's not how it works. It's not how it ever works. If you were a dork in high school, you're a dork in college, Mike. That's the rules. I didn't make them up. You know, these are the rules I live by, okay?
Do you know what that sounder means?
That, you got tension?
That's... I do actually. I disagree with one thing you said, which is, you know, it's fine. If they do win the series now, if the Nets win the series, that must mean something's gone right, you know, and that Fed's right.
I'll take it. If we've totally
turned it around,
if it is new school, new me, then fine. Yeah, it's tautological. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah. If that happens, if reality plays out in the way that they're down 2-0, you know, I had picked the Nets in six, which is quite silly now that I'm sitting here. But if they go
on the table,
if they win four straight, if they win four straight, yeah, I will feel good. Let me ask you this, though. Okay, let's just be positive. Let's do a positive. Hey, this is our positive segment. I don't have a sounder for positivity, but positivity.
Usually positive things. Police sirens. Yeah.
That's bad, yeah. Bad take by me. Yeah. If the Nets win game three, okay. And then Ben Simmons is returning. Try to put yourself in that emotional place. Are you tricking yourself into believing maybe they can do it?
Sorry, I totally spaced out for the first half of that question. I don't know if
the police siren just made police you went to thinking. A really dark place.
I think so. Like, what the hell? Sorry. That's on me. Yeah.
They win game three. The Nets win game three.
Yeah.
Ben Simmons returns for game four. What's your mentality? Because I think I'll be honest with myself, even though right now I'm very sad about this team. If they win game three and Ben Simmons is returning, I'm like, hey, you know, like what, you know, they just have to win at home and then it's a,
okay,
it's a best of.
I'll say this. It'll depend how we win game three. If we from start to finish have, you know, start playing some beautiful basketball and like we appear to be a completely, you know, reformed operation, sure, I'll buy in. But if it's just like we happen to win on the margins by doing the same exact thing that we've done, it's just like in this case, our buzzer beater goes in instead of theirs. Like, I'm not going to feel super good about that, I guess. It has to be like in the details for me at this point.
I think in this is a larger point. This Steve Nash experience has made me now finally, truly sort of kill the idea of a former great player is a basketball genius, and thus, as a coach, they will be a genius coach probably on offense, right? Like, ultimately, the offense that the Nets run was better last year when Mike D'Antoni was an assistant coach and is now not as good with Mike D'Antoni out of the system. The architects of the greatest offenses in NBA history typically don't come from great players.
I don't see how why this is like
who are now coaches.
It's really uncontroversial, and it's also uncontroversial, I think, in the like media sphere. I still see people like and not to say that I'm some kind of media guy, because surely I'm not, but like watching
now you're on the Athletic NBA show, so look at you
and a subsidiary of the New York Times. But like you still hear guys like Shaq being like, well, if you didn't play, you can't be a communicator about basketball. And it's like, Shaq, you suck at talking about basketball. I hate to say it, but like you suck at talking about basketball. And I get that you probably know a whole lot of more about playing it than me, but you're not as good about as talking. Fuck. Fuck. Yeah. Great. Good time to like.
How good are you at talking? Jeez.
Yeah. Great time to hit a dead end there. But anyways, you get what I'm trying to say, right? Fuck Shaq.
Sorry. Yeah, fuck that guy.
It is 10:40.
He's like one of the greatest players
and
of all time.
We've been through an emotional roller coaster.
Brought me so much joy as a fan growing up.
Bear with me.
Yeah. So Jason Kidd has done a better job in Dallas, but he failed ultimately with the Nets, and he failed in Milwaukee. And, you know, now he's doing better. Like, I think this notion... So I remember, like, Steve Nash coming in was... There was mystery, but there's also excitement because of the way he played. Because he was so smart as a player, he was next-level thinker, that it was like, shit, maybe he'll bring that to this team. And I remember in that first training camp when we talked about this, Reggie Perry shout out, name dropper over here. Reggie Perry was extolling the virtues of Steve Nash's defensive schemes, that he had defensive schemes as no one has ever seen before. Mm. I was like, oh my God, this guy is one of the greatest offensive point guards of all time, and he's like Bill Belichick of the NBA. And yet ultimately what we've gotten is like the substitute teacher, like a nice guy, again, who will roll out the TV. We're not getting, you know, master and commander. We're not getting Russell Crowe on the boat, you know, guiding us through the choppy waters. Dude, no, we're getting...
Was Reggie Perry just like the best... like hype man of all time for himself? Like, was he just like a mess? He's like Grima Wormtongue, just pulling all the strings of the nice media just to like make this insane, this crescendo of Reggie Perry media coverage. And then just like when he actually saw him play basketball, like what was everyone talking
to you about Reggie Perry?
Sorry, what was everyone talking about with this guy? Yeah. Just meanwhile, it's just Reggie Perry going behind it. He's like, Steve Nash is brilliant. I'm brilliant.
So yeah, it's, you know, they're down 2-0. The series is over. But it's hard to, I mean, it's, I don't know. Let's end the pod almost here. Let me ask you one final question, right?
Yeah.
Is the series over, or is it, hey, if Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving get their shit together, if they both play well together, you know, Bruce Brown is playing well, and there's, Drummond isn't, Nick Claxton, oh my God, we didn't even talk about the Nick Claxton free throw.
Whatever.
You know, I was DMing Mina Kimes that I like. I feel bad for her because she's such a Claxton stan. But that that is next level embarrassment.
Everyone likes that. A DM like, hey, I feel bad for you. Cool. Thanks.
That's well. Yeah. I do like that. That's
do you?
I
oh like, my gosh.
I like being feeling sympathy. It's the what's the
oh yeah. There's like a there's a whole
mental
like
disorder where you like want to like poison your kids.
Oh, Munchausen's.
Munchausen.
By proxy. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what you have.
So I have that for basketball. Cool. No. I'm trying to think of like a Munchausen basketball player. Like, anyways. So what's your prediction?
Yeah, again, I'll just go back to the like, unless the problem is just a continuation of the last couple of months of basketball going into the season, which at no point did the optics feel good, you know, at a just a huge macro base level.
Very, you know, few times. There's like a Miami Heat game.
There was a couple of games, and this has been true of us through the whole season, and it's just always looked somehow wrong despite, you know, mostly good results. And it's just been a perfect linear progression right into the playoffs, and it's a bad situation for us. And so I'm trying to be optimistic. Again, I'll say it. Like, I think it's completely plausible that we win these next two games, but unless something changes fundamentally with what's going on, and there's not a ton
Ben Simmons.
Which could be Ben Simmons, and I'm open
to
this idea.
Dude, he's one of the most clutch players in the NBA.
And I'm open to this. I'm open to
historically a great playoff basketball player.
I'm open to that he himself is reformed and then can reform the team. It's a lot of reformation, but, you know, here's my optimism. Then yes, that can happen. But, like, if what I'm seeing continues, if that linear progression just keeps on keeping on, I am the faith that we're discussing about being lost. It could be well and good lost, Mike. And it's almost time to tee up that Coach K season. We're ready to go, buddy.
Ooh, baby. Yeah. I'm ready for him to try to tell people to slap the floor. And
yeah.
Anyway, so I will say this again. I know this is hot takey, and this is like trying to get out ahead of the headlines, and I apologize. The Coach K thing was that too. But if the Nets lose in five in this series, there's going to be a fall guy, and it's going to be Steve Nash, because Kyrie and KD ain't going anywhere. Sean Marks has like Josiah's ear on that level. Now, Sean Marks hired Steve Nash partly because of his relationship with Kevin Durant, but yeah, pressure will be on Sean Marks. They're not going to fire Sean Marks. They're going to fire Steve Nash, and then it becomes like, who do you get next? And we'll do that 1,000 times over. I'm just saying this series could still be competitive, and they could lose in six or seven, and then we feel a little bit better. But right now, on 420 after game two,
We're high. We're too high for this right now, Mike. We are.
Yeah, dude. I was doing gravity bongs. I was.
Yeah, we're crazy. Guys. We're crazy right now. What did we just talk about? This is nuts. Anyways, Mike, let's get out of here.
Hey, yeah. Check us out on Twitter at bkglaznecessarily.com. 5 stars, you know, Apple Podcasts. It never hurts. It always feels good. That's you know,
right. A little review, one of the great a little things. Type of.
Love people, it. We have a lot of comments, and I appreciate each and every one of them. I, you know, they are. I put them on a scroll, and they're my Torah.
Love that.
Happy Passover.
I think it's that Passover. It. Let's get out of here.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom, everybody. Bye now. Bye.